In our first reading from the book of Jonah this morning, we're told it was time for the people of Nineveh to reform their lives and to do penance. St. Paul tells us in our second reading from 1 Corinthians that time is running out. Reminder that this gift of time is really a preparation for eternity. And of course, Jesus announces right at the beginning of his ministry in Mark's gospel, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I've long been fascinated with how often popular music has addressed the topic of time. Back in 1978, Al Stewart followed his big hit, Year of the Cat, with the top 10 hit, Time Passages. I'm not the kind to live in the past. The years run too short and the days too fast. The things you lean on are the things that don't last. Oh, it's just now and then my line gets cast into these time passages. There's something back here that you left behind. Oh, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight. How we experience time. Does time fly by or does time drag? Do we ever have enough time? Remember when you were young and how long it used to take for Christmas to get here? You'd wait and wait and wait, and it seemed like it would never come. Now, the same period of time measured in hours and minutes, and we wonder, where did it go to? Do you understand why that's the case? I remember many years ago reading a column by a syndicated columnist, Sidney Harris. He was out of Chicago. His columns used to appear in the Pete section of the Toledo Blade. One year, he addressed this phenomenon, and he explained it this way. As we grow older, time really does go faster. It's not just our imagination, and it's simply mathematical. Think of this. When you're 6 years old, 1 year is 1/6 of all you've known of existence. When you're 60 years old, that same span time of a year is 1/60th of what you've known of life. So no wonder time seems to be flying by so much more quickly as we age. In 1970, moving into 1971, the group Chicago had a top 10 song addressing this time theme. I'd like to share the first and third verses and stanzas with you and probing what they're communicating. As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. Yeah, and I said, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? If so, I can't imagine why. We've all got time enough to cry. I'm going to skip the second and go to the third, but one point with this, in the song, in most of the versions at least, as the lead singer is going through the lyrics of the stanza, there's a voice, another member of the band, speaking some words that you just barely make out if you really focus in and listen closely. Most people didn't bother to do that or didn't notice it. So I'll try to juxtapose for two reasons. One, I can't do two things at the same time. So you can hear what that voice is saying as the lead singer is singing. And I was walking down the street one day, people running everywhere, being pushed and shoved by people, don't know where they're going, trying to beat the clock, I don't know where I am. Oh, I just don't know, I just don't know, I can't see past the next step. And I said, yes, I said, don't have time to think past the last thought, have no time to look around. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? If so, I can't imagine why. We've all got time enough to die. So the second piece that's interesting as the song progresses, the first two times they sing the refrain, the last line of the refrain is, we've all got time enough to cry. When we come to that third refrain, the last refrain, we've all got time enough to die. So is time for us or against us? Father Jim Basic, probably the top theologian in our diocese for many years, once stated that each and every one of us is given just enough time in our lives. God knows how much time each of us needs. It's up to us how we use that gift. When I was in graduate school in Chicago back in the 70s, I first learned a distinction that might help us make sense of all this. The speaker spoke of two different times. He used two Greek words. Time one, which he called chronos, corresponding to chronological or chronic, and time two, which he referred to as kairos. Time one, chronos, which is linear secular time, is a time in which I'm moving, accomplishing, doing things. It's a time that's spent. It's the sort of time we speak of as being used up or wasted. It strikes me that this sort of time often is not my friend. There never seems to be enough of it. It's more an enemy to human beings because it means that my life is ebbing away. Like it or not, I have less time one left in my life today than I had yesterday. And that's true for each and every one of us. Time two, kairos, which is special time, sacred time. It's that time when special and sacred things happen to me. It's a time when I have special insights into reality, as if I'm seeing things in a new light, like for the first time, when I become more aware. It's a time when I'm most together, when I have the strongest sense of my whole self, when I'm acting non-compulsively, that is, not out of my needs or anxieties, not in order to accomplish something, to get something done. Time, too, is not spent or used up. It is time saved. That is, it is the salvation time in our lives. The bad news is that I'm personally in my mid-70s, and I obviously have a lot more chronos time behind me than what lies in front of me. The good news is that if I'm open to life and grace, I could have more kairos moments ahead of me in this life, regardless of how many years or months or weeks I may have left. Remember Jim Croce's number one hit from back in 1973? If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. Well, we can't save time in a bottle. But if we make the right decisions, we can be open to and experience more and more kairos time in our lives. I'd like to close with two stories that may help us in those decisions concerning our use of time and help us to make that time into the time of fulfillment that Jesus is calling us to in our gospel today. First, consider the story of the lawyer who lived 500 miles away from her elderly father. They had not seen each other in a number of months. The father calls her up and asks, "When are you going to come and visit?" The daughter proceeds to tell him about the demands on her time, her court schedule, meetings, on and on, all that prevent her from being able to visit. So the father says, "You must tell me something that I've been wondering about for some time now. When I die, do you intend to come to my funeral?" The lawyer responds, "Dad, I can't believe you'd ask that. Of course I'd come to your funeral." The father replies, "Good, let's make a deal. Forget the funeral. I need you more now than I will then." Second story comes from Raymond Camp, who wrote a column called Wood, Fish, and Stream for the New York Times. He tells of a letter he got one time from a boy. It read, "Would you tell me where I can find a place to fish that is not more than 5 or 6 miles from my house in Queens? I am 14 years old and have saved up enough money to buy a rod, reel, and line, but do not know where to go fishing. My father sometimes goes with other men, but he's too busy for me, so I have to find some place I can reach on my bicycle or by the subway." The columnist managed to find out the father's name and sent him his son's letter with a brief note. He received this reply from the father: "You handed me quite a wallop in your letter, but I am sorry you did not hit me harder and sooner. When I think of the opportunity I might have lost, it frightens me. I do not need to point out that I now have a new fishing companion, and we have already planned a busy spring and summer. I wonder how many other fathers are passing up similar opportunities." Some years ago, Barbara Bush gave an address at Wellesley College in which she said to the graduates, "As important as your obligation as a doctor, a lawyer, or a business leader may be, your human connections with your spouse, your children, and your friends are the most important investment you will ever make. At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. But you will regret time not spent with your spouse, your children, or your friends." Every one of us is now a little bit more than halfway through the first month of this new year. Are we continuing to rush onto the maze of the rat race, fighting against Chronos, Time One? Or are we allowing ourselves to enter into Kairos, Time Two, in order to be frequently summoned to prayer, wonderment, contemplation, relationships? This new year of 2018 is a new opportunity to become who we are called to be, or as Matthew Kelly likes to put it, the best version of ourselves. St. Paul told us time is running out. Jesus assures us this is the time of fulfillment. We're all given just enough time. May we all choose to use this precious gift wisely. In the name name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to turn to page 10 in our Breaking Bread books. We'll use the more ancient Apostles' Creed as we respond.